I have heard some people make some very degrading comments about the cops recently, and I personally believe that people should refrain from making degrading comments about the cops, because the cops have a very difficult job, and they do it very well with great pride and integrity. And therefore, I wrote a song in support of the cops, and it goes like this. Come and gather round, you people, now, and listen to me yak. All you doctors and you lawyers and you folks who push the crack, and all you folks who push the buttons and you folks who push the mops, come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops. Oh, I really like the cops. I think they're pretty cool. I like them in my neighborhood. I like them in my school. I think the cops are wonderful. I think the cops are nice. And I like to have a broken jaw and carry a pack of ice. I really like the cops. I think they're pretty neat. I like it when they take my face and smash it on the street, and then they drag me to a station and they lock me in a room, and then I like it when they rape me up the anus with the broom. I really like the cops. They make me want to sing. You know my favorite movie is that tape of Rodney King, and so I really get pissed off whenever somebody like you suggests we should subject the cops to citizens' review. I really like the cops. I am so glad that they're around to hassle me and ticket me for sitting on the ground. I really love the cops. I'd be so sad if they were gone. There's something about a uniform that always turns me on. Yeah, I really like the cops so much, folks, that I don't think you should find out the number of your local cop watch group. And if there is no cop watch group in your town, that's good. I don't think you should start one. And if you're walking down the street and you see somebody getting hassled by the cops, I don't think you should stop and see what happens. I think you should just walk on by, because that person must deserve everything they get for not looking rich enough for the cops to leave them alone. And if you're with a group of people and the cops start picking on one of you, I don't think you should stick up for that person at all. I think you should just let the police physically and psychologically isolate your companion. And I don't think you should carry one of those little disposable drugstore cameras on your person at all times to document police brutality with when you see it. And I don't think your town should have a civilian review board to investigate citizen complaints against cops. And if you do have a board like that, then I think it should just be a rubber stamp committee that approves of everything the cops do. And if there's a cop in your town who makes a regular habit of beating up unarmed people, or raping women at gunpoint, or raping men at gunpoint, or killing people for an adrenaline rush because he is a psychopath, then I think that he should not be fired. And if he is fired, then that is definitely punishment enough for him, and he should not be prosecuted. And I most definitely do not think that you should put his name and his address and his telephone number and his list of crimes on a flyer and post that flyer all over town. And I don't think you should go to his neighborhood and talk to all his neighbors like people do when a convicted sex offender moves into a neighborhood and let them know what he has done. And I don't think that you should egg his house or slash his tires or run him out of town. And I don't think that when he applies for a job on the police force in the next town over the hill, I don't think you should go to that town too and do the same thing and make sure that he never works as a police officer again. I don't think you should do any of this, because your town has the best police department in the world. Oh yes, I really like the cops. Just to see 'em gets me high. I hope that I get taken into custody and die, and then I hope that every fact that's in the coroner's report gets chucked into a dumpster so it won't be heard in court. I hear you making statements that you know are quite obscene, like how the cops are nasty and like how the cops are mean. It makes me want to tell you that you ought to get some class and help your local officers by kicking your own ass. So come gather round, you people, now, and listen to me yak. All you doctors and you lawyers and you folks who push the crack, and all you folks who push the buttons and you folks who push the mops, come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops.
Was as I was moving along, I witnessed one officer completely destroying someone's bicycle. Apparently they had fallen on their bicycle. They weren't moving fast enough. They were trying to drag their bicycle off the scene, and this officer was going at it full force with his billy club. So as I walked past, I took a shot, and from behind me I heard, "Get that guy with the camera." And before I could even turn around, an officer was on my back, lifted me up, threw me down on the ground, ripping at my camera. He tore the flash unit off the camera, or at least twisted part of it off the camera. He broke the flash unit in half and smashed that. A couple officers came over to assist him and were hitting me with their sticks while he was desperately trying to get the camera away from me. They let me up, so I still had the camera. Ran me down again onto the sidewalk, tackled me. At that point, about, I'd say, half a dozen officers were around me, hitting me with sticks, kicking me in the back, and desperately grabbing for my camera. Somehow or another, I got up from that once more. They continued to strike me with their sticks while I was up and pushed me down along the street. And one officer just caught my camera strap just right and yanked. And there went my camera. I saw him smashing on the ground.
The review board, we were advised to address our complaints of police brutality, is controlled by the New York City Police Department itself.
I'm just a cop. I don't give orders. I just take them.
Here come the police. They're now coming across the street. They're coming across the street. They have their clubs out. They're attacking the crowd.
Police used attack dogs, batons, and a few riot shields and horses to secure the Klan's rally. Two people were rammed by a squad car and then arrested. One person was arrested for demanding badge numbers after having an officer nearly break his wrist, and a few onlookers were taken into custody seemingly at random.
One man was led away from the protest in handcuffs and was bleeding from his mouth.
I did nothing, they just tried to kill me.
Who?
These officers choked me to the point of passing out.
Why?
And they're going to kill me in custody. So please call my mother when I'm dead, because they're going to kill me.
His face was bleeding from his mouth.
Yeah, well, he was unconscious for a few seconds because they choked him.
They choked him.
On that night, nearly 500 police stormed into this popular neighborhood, assaulting hundreds of people as the police tried to stem a protest against a 1 a.m. curfew in the park. Neighborhood activists say they organized a protest after police began sweeping out the homeless people who sleep in the park in late July. On Friday, August 5th, a virtual police occupation occurred in the park when several police vans, trucks, and 100 officers were mobilized in the park. Police Commander Gerald McNamara then ordered the mounted police to charge the crowd of demonstrators and onlookers.
Police are beating on homeless men who are sleeping on the street along 9th Street as they push the crowd down 9th Street, swinging their clubs, pushing people.
They're going to kill you, murderers.
Three of us stopped for no reason, as well as millions of other people who were just trying to get out of the way. And we said, stop hitting us, and they beat on us more. Her head is fucking falling apart. His head is bleeding.
Do you see that they're here punishing people for just nothing?
Okay. What happened?
Well, I mean, we were just running, and then we stopped running. We were just walking, and the police officer just started pushing us. And then he just knocked me down once, and then I got up, and I continued walking, and then he knocked me down again. And then he knocked down my friend as well that was walking with me. I mean, it's pathetic, you know what I mean? If you're supposed to be just standing and protesting, which you're supposed to have the right and freedom to do in America, and when you do that, you're being assaulted by police officers. I mean, it doesn't balance out, you know what I mean? I mean, you might as well just riot and hurt them as well as they're hurting you. I mean, they're supposed to be standing there keeping the peace.
That anybody that messes with the police gets what's coming to them.
I'd like you all to know that I'm very ashamed of our police department. I've been in Saigon, I've been in Korea, and I know what this is like. That was a disgrace. For any man to stand up as a soldier to fight for his country, and then to see nothing but blood and this debris all over the streets by the police department? That's wrong. That's wrong.
The cops, every cop, and I'm sure there's some undercover cops sitting here, they should be ashamed of themselves. They should be fucking ashamed.
And the pigs came in and they said, slow it down, slow it down. And don't make out reports. There's a cover-up, and it started for me from before the cops got the word to attack. And then they got the word and they said, break the cameras. They broke the cameras. They broke the video cameras. They beat up the reporters. It's bullshit. It's a cover-up. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go.
When a police officer verbally or physically harasses, intimidates, touches, manhandles, beats citizens, God damn it, your civil rights are at stake. Civil rights are at stake. Civil rights are at stake. Civil rights are at stake.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound.
That he was murdered by the San Jose police. It was actually legal murder, and I believe that that's what it's going to come out.
that he did not commit a crime. He had left what he was trying to take in the store. They had no right to follow him. I know that the autopsy report shows there were no taser marks on him, and that the doctor who did the autopsy said that if a taser had been fired and had made contact with any of his clothing, it would have stuck. And I just believe that these police wanted to have another person that they could kill and legally get away with it. Johnny was in San Jose, and it was August 12th. It was 9:35 in the morning. He went into a Radio Shack. Now, Johnny wasn't perfect. Johnny had problems with schizophrenia, and he was in a program which he found difficult to complete. He was hearing voices. He went into the Radio Shack. He attempted to steal a CD player. When he was caught and the police were called, he dropped the CD player and went out the back door. This is where the police say they first fired their tasers, and they didn't work. They followed him about 300 yards, chasing him. Now, remember, he didn't commit a crime. Chasing him. We got in front of this one house where these people live that have already told me what exactly happened, that the officers said, drop your weapon three times. He had a pocket knife, just a normal pocket knife. He folded up the pocket knife, he put it in his pocket, and they shot him. They shot him three times. And this was wrong. This was absolutely, totally wrong. I don't know the name of the officers, but I know that one had been on the force for 13 years and one had been on the force for 7. I understand one of them works at a middle school in San Jose during the day, and he's a very rough cop and not thought of very highly. And this is what they had done to my grandson. And I really believe they will get away with legal murder. Only because I'm saying this, because my husband was a deputy at one time, and he went through the same academy. And it says, when you shoot to kill. Well, why do you shoot to kill when there's other organs you can shoot? A leg, a hand, you know? Why can't you aim somebody? Why do you have to murder them? And why did they even chase him? He had not committed a crime. I'm just, you know, I'm beside myself. You know, this was my 21-year-old grandson. I was in a fabric store in Magalia, and that happened about 4 o'clock. They informed my son-in-law, and he immediately informed me at 4 o'clock. And he laid there on the street for 5 hours. There was no thought of what he was doing, how it was affecting people that were passing by. He just laid there. And the first shot that they fired went through his heart, out the back, but they continued to shoot him.
Okay.
No, but this is their brotherhood. This is their other family as law enforcement. So, I mean, right now he's waiting. He's pending autopsy reports. I hope that he finds out that they did exactly what I'm saying, and he is affected by it, and he does something about it. I requested a grand jury open so that we could be there. But I do know there were several witnesses that saw this, and it was totally uncalled for. And I think that this is something that the public should be made aware of. That there are police that are getting away with legal murder, and they keep shooting people. I understand between your father and Johnny, there were 10 other killings. That's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
That these people's lives have been wiped out. Nobody even knows about what happened up here. An occasional person would know. But, I mean, it's the same way up here, you know.
Sure.
We don't have the killings up here. Mm-hmm. We just have people that don't care. And, you know, he had the most loving, warm heart you could imagine. He was so loving and gentle and tender with the way he talked to me. It was nothing like they're making him out to be. Johnny was a sweet, sweet kid. And he hadn't even gone to manhood. He didn't even have a driver's license. He was talking about having children with his girlfriend and how he was going to support them. He had a wonderful girlfriend. And, you know, life has stopped. Life has stopped for him. And to me, my heart is broken for him. Because I raised him. He was a good kid. Even our pediatrician who showed up at his funeral said that she remembered what a sweet, loving child he was. And she imagined as a man, he was a sweet and loving man, and he was. There wasn't a day that went by that he wouldn't hug and kiss me, tell me, Grandma, I love you. This was no vicious animal in the store. Mm-hmm. This was a loving child. Mm-hmm. He was born on my 40th birthday. He was my birthday present. And I adored him. And I will miss him so much. He had a brother, Ryan, and he had another brother, Stuart. And Stuart lives in Texas, and Ryan lives in San Jose.
And how does he feel about it?
He's very, very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he should have been more involved. And of course his dad is saying the same thing. I should have been more involved. I should have been more loving. I should have been more kind. I should have understood him. I should have done things more for him instead of taking the tough love approach. And what else do you expect a policeman to do? They don't have love. Not him. I don't understand. And my child is gone. My child's gone now. And I try so hard to understand how anybody could kill such a sweet child.
for September 9th, 2004. Two Minneapolis police officers were put on paid administrative leave this week after a videotape surfaced showing the two beating a handcuffed prisoner. The two officers are Sergeant Carol Hawley, with the force since 1973, and John LeLuzerne, a five-year veteran of the force. The videotape was shown on Minneapolis television last week after the broadcast community leaders expressed their outrage. The video shows a group of Minneapolis police officers surrounding a man on the ground who was wearing handcuffs. One of the officers appears to kick the prisoner in the head, and another slams a door on the prisoner's leg shortly afterward as he was being placed in a squad car. An internal affairs investigation of the incident is underway. It was the second time in a week that a video had surfaced showing abusive behavior by Minneapolis officers. In the other incident, Officer Victor Mills is seen slapping a prisoner after an August arrest. Mills is also on administrative leave. Lawyers are trying to free a man who claims his murder confession was false and that it was beaten out of him by Chicago police officers. Daryl Canning claims that in 1983 he was driven by police to a remote location where officers shoved a gun in his mouth and played Russian roulette to get him to confess to murder. He also says that police officers put cattle prods on his genitals and shocked him. Lawyers showed a parole board a video of Commander John Burge in a deposition, refusing repeatedly to answer questions under oath relating to alleged torture in the Chicago Police Department. Burge repeatedly asserts his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, he says, on the advice of his attorney. Burge was fired from the force in 1993, on the same day that he was served a grand jury subpoena ordering him to testify in an ongoing investigation into torture allegations within the Chicago Police Department. A videotape has been shown nationally in the U.S. depicting police dragging a handcuffed woman through a Las Vegas casino. The woman, 55-year-old Paula Sadoff, launched a lawsuit last week claiming police brutality and was recently interviewed on Good Morning America. Sadoff says she suffered a broken knee and wrist after she was slammed against a police car and thrown to the ground by officers. 1 year and two surgeries later, she still walks with a cane. She was arrested for domestic assault, but the charges against her were later dropped. Police refused to comment on the lawsuit or their investigation of the incident. A man claims that Evanston, Illinois police beat him after a routine traffic stop, and his claims are supported by a videotape showing police beating him in a bathroom stall. The 21-year-old man was pulled over for making an illegal right turn on a red light last March. Police surveillance cameras show officers leading the man to a bathroom stall at a police station, which he emerges from moments later. Next, the video shows an officer grabbing him by the neck, pushing him against a wall, and choking him. The video also shows one officer standing guard and another officer observing the brutality directly. The video also shows the man being forced into his stall out of range of the cameras by two officers and then emerging with serious wounds. Bloodstains can be seen forming on the man's shirt while an officer applies a bandage to a wound on the man's head. The victim was wearing handcuffs throughout the incident. The Evanston Police Department is not commenting on the matter except to say that the incident has been turned over to state authorities for investigation. All charges against the man were later dropped and his lawyers have filed a lawsuit. The city of Sadieville, Kentucky has suspended its police chief, Mike Mizell, 2 days after he was charged with impaired driving and resisting arrest. After a 30-minute closed session, which included an interview with the chief, council voted unanimously to suspend Mizell with pay pending the outcome of the charges against him. Mizell claims that the arresting officer was out of his jurisdiction and used excessive force during the arrest. Mizell was taken to a nearby hospital after the incident. A Grand Rapids, Michigan police officer has been suspended from his job after beating a man. The complaint against the officer, Matthew Lockhart, was filed surprisingly by his fellow officers. Officer Lockhart was involved in a very brief chase. After the suspect had given up and placed himself on the ground, Lockhart repeatedly struck his victim with his police-issue radio and kicked him. The victim, who is currently planning for a lawsuit, suffered a broken rib and several cuts which required staples. Prosecutors are expected to decide whether or not to lay charges within the next couple of days. Chesterfield, Michigan Police Chief Steve Robbins has been fired because of three new allegations of misconduct. Robbins has been on paid suspension since May, except for 2 weeks in June when he was suspended without pay. This time around, he was suspended for using his police vehicle to tow a trailer, failing to report a traffic accident, and for ordering a command officer to destroy an interdepartmental memo. In the past, he's been accused of using confidential police databases for personal reasons and using inappropriate language with female municipal employees. He was also suspended once for installing a remote starter in a municipally owned vehicle without permission. An 18-month investigation of the Parma, Ohio Police Department has revealed a trend of fraud committed by police officers. The investigation may lead to charges of fraud, tax evasion, and theft against the 12 officers who were the alleged participants in the scam. Officers who are not charged criminally face discipline from their department. A report says that former police chief Mark Manning signed the names of other officers to collect pay and avoid taxes while he was working as a security guard in a bowling alley. Other officers also accepted cash from the same bowling alley. The report also says that officers worked at other jobs when they had called in sick and were paid twice for the same hours of duty. There are also claims that officers falsified times on parking tickets to make it seem as though they had worked overtime hours. The city claims it lost $150,000 through false overtime payments to the police. Residents and activists in El Monte, California, are protesting the death of David Vieira at the hands of the city police. The young father of three was shot by police after a traffic stop. Police say they riddled the car with bullets after Vieira reached for a weapon. However, no weapon was recovered. Police say they stopped the car because Vieira and his passenger were suspects in a shooting, but a subsequent investigation revealed that they had no connection to that incident. Protesters rallied outside of the Trenton, New Jersey City Hall on Wednesday to protest the brutal beating of a man during a recent arrest. Charles Hendricks was beaten by the police after he allegedly interfered with an investigation outside of his home. Hendricks suffered a broken nose, broken ribs, and a broken thumb during the arrest. The mayor of Trenton says he has known Hendricks for 40 years and that Hendricks is a, quote, fine man who is very active in the community. The two detectives, David Niederman and Jason Woodhead, arrived at Hendricks' home in an unmarked vehicle and were investigating a possible drug deal on his porch. Hendricks says that he was encouraging the two individuals on his porch to cooperate with the police when the officers slammed the door on his head, stormed into his house punching and beating him, dragged him outside hitting his head on the steps, and then handcuffed him. No drugs were ever found. Hendricks was charged with assaulting a police officer, interfering in an investigation, and resisting arrest. And New York City Council has decided to hold hearings into the treatment of prisoners arrested and detained at a former bus station during the Republican National Convention last week. 1,800 people were arrested, primarily for disorderly conduct, during the convention. Many of the arrested claim they were held for more than 24 hours and that the conditions at the temporary facility at Pier 57 were unsafe. At a news conference at City Hall on Tuesday, City Councilor Margarita Lopez said she believes the city's treatment of protesters constituted police brutality.
And these squad guards pulled up and these cops fucking jumped out, walked over towards us and said they cited a bylaw infraction we were committing, that we were obstructing the sidewalk and that we had to leave immediately or get arrested. So some of us refused, and the cops fucking tackled them. And then some people started gathering up their fucking belongings, and some cop pounced on them and grabbed them and started put the handcuffs on them and dragged them off to the paddy wagons. We were asking the police, like, why are they doing this? Why are they picking on the homeless and poor? Why are they throwing all their belongings into garbage cans? Don't they have a heart? And police was verbally shouting at them. And it's when three Husky police officers jumped her, grabbed her by the scruff of her neck and threw her down, and handcuffed her and fucking dragged her to the fucking paddy wagon.
Chief Ramsey, last week, NBC4 videotaped a D.C. police officer repeatedly striking a protester with a nightstick. Police on the scene claim that he ignored three orders to get on the sidewalk, then resisted arrest. The protester says he was simply taking pictures of other protesters being roughed up and was gang-tackled and beaten without warning. Question, is the officer in question still on the force, under investigation? What's the situation?
Well, he's still on the force. He's under investigation. He's in a non-contact status. And when I talked earlier about people not being available for duty, that's one more person now that's not available for duty until this matter is resolved. We have to look into it, find out what caused that incident to take place, and we'll deal with it accordingly.
How do you respond to the protesters' claims that that was not an isolated case of excessive force?
Well, I mean, protesters are going to say what they're going to say. I mean, you know, our people get spit on, they have rocks thrown at them. It's very difficult to control these particular types of events. The vast majority of people that come to protest are very, very peaceful. But we always get this group that comes in wearing the masks and all that sort of thing, and they tend to cause us a lot of problems. So our officers need to stay cool and calm, but I think they do an outstanding job when it comes to dealing with protests. But we'll deal with that.
And police were riding their bicycles on the sidewalk when pedestrians were walking along it. And then they were riding their motorcycles into the crowd. And it was actually the marchers themselves who kept people from being hurt by telling them, don't run, don't panic, when this happened, because they started to all run.
I dream of night. We're stuck in war, safe in our home, and if we're left alone, we need no more cops. I dream of that, no police, an army that's wall, to lose the peace. And now is all my dreaming stops. I see it clear, we need no more cops to relieve the fear. I'd want to cheer, and I'd wish you were here before my mother stops. Seems to me, if it were really free, don't let us be, we need no more cops.
Of riot cops that just set off a bunch of tear gas.
Because police brutality, as it is an issue for the black community, has been a long issue in the gay community. Our two communities have shouldered this terrible plague of police brutality for decades and decades.
Highly pissed off after being thrown around and shoved around by the New York City Police Department, right, trying to take photos of the garden protesters today.
It's civil disobedience.
Over 100 people arrested?
And I saw two press people have their get written tickets and had their press cards checked. So it was a war on the press as well as the protesters.
We saw a lot
today
of shoving going on.
It's a big thing, shoving with the police. They actually had people out at subway stations with flyers with misinformation,
yeah,
directing people.
That was amazing.
Out
the phony flyers.
So
talk
amazing
about COINTELPRO.
I saw somebody getting arrested for having a bullhorn. When we were arrested, they beat us up, they torture us, even kill us.
It wasn't about the city being shut down. It was already shut down, you know. It was just tear gas. There was so much tear gas. On average, we counted at least one a minute, something like 200 in less than 2 hours, a little bit more, actually. I mean, the city was tear gassed. It was a very ineffective strategy. And whenever they, like, kind of resort to chemical warfare like this, it makes very little sense given the much more effective police technique of arresting people.
That is what police state looks like!
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the
interior, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct, you know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We're tired of that. Corporations hiring blacks, denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented. I'm in it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
I was assaulted by a police officer who approached me with his gun out while I was parking my car going into a restaurant with a female friend, and he used as the reasoning that he thought that my car was stolen and that we were car thieves, a male and female were car thieves, dressed appropriately to go out that evening. A subsequent officer arriving at the scene decided to tell the police officer who had me at gunpoint with a loaded gun to my head that he is acting out of order and that he needed to put away his gun because the situation didn't call for that level of response.
So it's obvious that the Vancouver Police Department, there's a lot of racial profiling.
I don't just limit Vancouver Police or Burnaby Police. I say it's endemic in policing that there's this tendency to profile based on your racial background.
Do you really think that you're superior, that you can terrorize people that you're not familiar with or that you're afraid of? Do you think that you have the right to assume guilt? I thought we had a legal system that even said that we were innocent until proven guilty. There are people here that actually have been held up in their neighborhoods for 40 minutes in handcuffs just to get their ID checked, just so that they can see who they are, and then if they happen to be a criminal, oh good, we already have them cuffed. I mean, that's absolutely ludicrous. That's unfair. That's actually vicious behavior.
And Canada really needs to wake up and understand that they have the problem, they need to deal with it just like anyone else.
I've just noticed a disturbing change with the police here in Vancouver. That's, they're certainly using a lot more brutality and racial profiling with their, and not investigating when there's complaints, more acting and assigning blame based on people's races, and pulling their guns out when there isn't a threat of violence. It's concerning to me.
I'm tired of being told that I'm going to go to jail every time I have contact with the police. No criminal record. And I would like to be treated with more respect by the police and not have to worry about the way I look and being targeted in that way by the cops. And I'm actually, from my personal experiences, I'm angry. I'm getting more angrier and have strong resentments against the cops for the way I've personally been treated. And I haven't done anything wrong, basically.
You know, you have to have a very good basis to be able to come with guns and take it out, the guns like this. What is happening? That every time that there is a call for police, that there is black people involved, they pull their guns out? Something is wrong somewhere. The police has been using a lot of brutality and a lot. And brutality is not just because they come and they beat up or whatever. It's also their whole demeanor. They don't come as public service, providing a public service. They come like thugs. Their behavior, their body language, their attitude is thug, and it is not acceptable. We as taxpayers pay for their wages. This is a public service, and they should deal with us in fairness.